This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, June 23rd, 2024. Sink or swim, floaties.
Well, good morning, Connection Church.
Good morning.
Here in the sanctuary, there at home. Glorious day to be part of God's creation. Amen.
Amen.
Sickening hot, but still a glorious day. Okay. So today we're going to share our second week of the series, Sink or Swim. And this morning we're going to be looking at floaties. Say floaties. All right, now we're all in the mood. Okay, good. Good.
All right. Hi, everybody. My name is Carrie Jones.
I'm Alan Jones.
And we are two sinners who have been saved by the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thanks so much for being here. It is so good to be together. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you so much for this day. It's a day that you've made. Help us see it as a gift. Help us embrace the moments that we are in and that are before us for the rest of the day and tomorrow, and not squander those times, but to be led by you, to be held by you. And so, Lord, that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about floaties. May this be to your glory. In Jesus' name, everybody agreed and said, amen.
So floaties come in a wide range of styles and sizes, from the little one there, which it's not even inflatable.
So Tom wanted me to put this on. Maybe I should suggest that you do it.
Yeah.
It gives you directions front. Yeah.
Yeah. So. From that to the things Carrie floats around the pool in with a
drink holder for my iced tea.
And a headrest. Like a fake jet ski. This is one our granddaughter. I don't think this will fit me. I think it's for our granddaughter. Yeah, she'll fit in that.
This one's fun because Nolan sits on it. And then there's this thing here, and it comes up through here, and it's a gun, and he shoots me with water while he's on this. Yeah.
So the purpose, basically, of all these floaty-type things is to help you stay afloat in the water, thus the name floaties, right? Some geared primarily for relaxing while you're in the water, and some geared for, you know, little ones to keep them from going under, from drowning, you know? They're designed to keep our head above water and to keep us afloat, floaties.
And you're thinking, what in the world are they talking about now?
We're talking about floaties.
We're talking about floaties because we, in the Christian life, have floaties too. We have things and people who keep us afloat, who keep us from drowning, who keep us from keeping our head, helping us keep our head above water. So we're going to name a few floaties today. The first floaty is the Holy Spirit. Say Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. Did you ever think of the Holy Spirit as a floaty? We're here to say the Holy Spirit is like a floaty. You know, this is filled with air. The floaties, most of them are filled with air. And in fact, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit, the Hebrew word for Holy Spirit is ruach. And that means wind or breath or spirit. Or if you look at the word in Greek, it means pneuma. And that's the same thing. So the Holy Spirit is air that holds us up, that buoys us. Holy Spirit is our comforter, our advocate, our counselor, our convictor. The Holy Spirit helps keep us afloat as we navigate through the day-to-day life, which can toss us pretty hard sometimes. Here's what Jesus said. He told his disciples this. He was preparing his disciples as he was getting ready to leave and sit at the right hand of God the Father. He told them this, John 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you. Now, the Holy Spirit is not an it. It's a he. It's the third person of the Trinity. Doesn't mean comes third. It's just part of the Holy Trinity. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all I have said to you. And so when I'm feeling a nudge, when I'm feeling a direction, when I'm feeling a conviction, the Holy Spirit brings to my remembrance different things that I have learned in Scripture and through others.
And so the Holy Spirit, the Helper, will teach you all things and remind us of all things that Jesus said. It's the Holy Spirit, as we read through the Bible, who guides us in our understanding as we read. Same Holy Spirit inspires us and encourages us as we work to live Christ-centered lives in the middle of a very un-Christ-centered world. Let me say that again. Helps us to lead Christ-centered lives in an otherwise very un-Christ-centered world. It's the Holy Spirit who keeps us afloat in a world that works tirelessly to drown us in the waters of unbelief, tension, and turmoil. It's the Holy Spirit who gives us hope. Here's what we read in Romans 15:13. May the God of hope, say hope. Hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, say Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope.
Abound in hope. That's just not a little bit. Abound. That's like filled with hope to the nth degree. Just hope, 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 hope. There's no end. Abound in hope. It means that we're overcome with hope. That we can be hopeful and hope-filled.
Mm. And so the Holy Spirit is one of our floaties, amen?
Amen?
But so is the church. And you know, the church isn't this building. We say, I'm going to church. But actually, I'm going to that place that houses the people. That's what church is, the people. And so the church serves as another one of our floaties, helping us keep our head above water, helping us keep from drowning in the challenges of day-to-day living. It's the people in the church that God uses as his heart, his hands, his feet, his ears, his voice. It's the people that God uses for sharing, caring, and daring. In the Global Methodist Church, I love what they stand for. Three things. We worship passionately, we love extravagantly, and we witness boldly. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. And we do this in a lot of different ways. One of the primary ways is what we're doing this morning, right? Right here on Sunday morning, where we gather as the body of Christ, singing God's praises, hearing God's word preached, God bringing transformation as we act on and react to that preached word. There's nothing that compares to joining together in the name of Jesus Christ and singing his praises. Nothing compares. There's nothing that compares to sharing in the word, not in isolation, but in a community of faith. Community of faith. Collectively receiving God's word that he has for us. There's nothing that compares with corporate prayer. Hundreds of us bowing our heads together, all focused on the Creator of it all, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's nothing that compares to the fellowship of believers. Together, sharing laughter and tears, joys and sorrows as we join together, expressing our faithful belief in the one who created it all. There's nothing that compares.
I can't live without being a part of a corporate body. Maybe for a little while, but then I get sucked dry. Even when we're away, you know, we were in London and we worshiped the only time we couldn't worship with a body is when we were on the boat. But the other times when we were in land, we're worshiping. When we're on vacation, we're worshiping. Because it is a lifeline to be with you, to be with people that I might not even know, but lifting the Lord's name up together. On the other hand, there is nothing that compares when we get together in smaller groups. Nothing. Nothing. Because that's the place where we can lean in. You're not going to get deep, deep, deep teaching. We can't do that in 20 or 25 minutes. But in the small group setting, either short term or longer term, that's where we go deeper. That's where we can ask questions. That's where we can kind of work through things that we might not even understand. And so here we have this large church worship on Sunday morning, and then we get to the small group fellowship and Bible study through the week. We go from this large church, like attractional, come and see, oh, isn't it cute, they had floaties, that kind of thing, to attract, but it's for a purpose. It's for a purpose to draw people in, but and to share the news about Jesus, to talk about the Bible. But then we go from that to the smaller group where there's sharing and there's a depth to it. Both are important. Both are necessary. Both are Bible-inspired. Both are in the Scripture. We find both of them in the book of Acts, chapter 5, verse 42. Day after day, in the temple courts, that's the church, and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah.
You know, right there from the beginning of the church, they met in the large church in large groups, and they met in small groups in their homes. And we do the same. We encourage, we do that to encourage one another, to share with one another, to lift one another up, to get to know one another a little more intimately, personally. Small groups are one of our floaties. Yeah. Keep our heads above water. Help us keep from drowning in a sea of disbelief that we find ourselves surrounded by in our day-to-day lives.
It was Jesus himself who gave us this model. His small group, they were the disciples, and there were some others as well. And then he narrowed that down to even a smaller group, where he went to Mary and Martha's house and Lazarus, and then he had Peter, James, and John. He had the inner, you know, the people that he was able to really, really be himself and share with and be supported. They went deeper. The disciples learned a lot about themselves. Those who were connected to Jesus learned about themselves. We learn about ourselves when we're in conversation with one another. You know, I have been in a small group, whether it's a disciple Bible study that was 32 weeks, or experiencing God that was like 16 weeks, or a small home group or a Zoom group. For almost all of my adult life, Devin, you were 2 when I did my first group. Megan was 5, Aaron was 6. So ever since then, it's been one group or another, pre-ministry, just young married couple just trying to do life. And we made it a priority, and it helped us understand who Jesus was. It helped our marriage. It helped us parent. It was everything. And so I needed that. And we all need that. If you're in a small group, you know what we're talking about. If you're not, we want everybody to get connected in some way or another. I know you, not everybody can do like every week or every other week. We know that there's, okay, I can give 4 weeks. I can give 6 weeks. I need a break after that. So we've designed different things for different people for your seasons of life. Gary is our small group lead. He'll be back at the table. He'll be able to talk to you. Join us in, I believe, our July series. It's not really a typical small group. It's more of a teacher discussion kind of thing, but it's community. And that's what we're talking about, community. We've got to go deeper, and that's one way we do it.
Another floater we have is one-on-one time with God. That's an example would be a time of devotion where you read a devotional. I like to do it in the morning, but it could be any time. It could be lunchtime. It could be any time during the day before you go to bed. It's just spending that time with God, kind of one-on-one, with maybe through the scripture, but also maybe a book that maybe comments about it, gives you a little direction. I'm working through a devotional right now by a pastor and author. He recently deceased, Tim Keller, and his wife, Kathy. It's called God's Wisdom for Navigating Life. God's Wisdom for Navigating Life. It's a year of devotions that start with readings from the book of Proverbs. There are many others to choose from as well. We have a table out there with some of our favorites from over the years. They've got the name in it so they don't walk off. But
yeah, you know, leave them there. Take pictures.
Yeah, you can take
you
a picture and we'll get it online or whatever. But look through them. Find one that speaks to you. If you don't find one out there, go to a Christian bookstore and find a devotional that speaks to you. It will help to keep your head above water. It'll help you keep you floating when the challenges of the world work overtime to drown you from hearing the voice of God.
We also have our daily breads, and they are free to you, and you can take it. A lot of people use that as their devotional. It's good, solid stuff. So they're out on the table for you. So we've been talking about floaties, the Holy Spirit, worship as a corporate body, small groups, one-on-one time with God, devotionals. Another floaty is serving. We talked, actually, Erin talked about this a couple weeks ago when she talked about goals versus habits, but serving others keeps us from spending time focused on ourselves. Mm-hmm. It's not about me. It's about others. Now, we do need to have self-care, absolutely. We're not saying that we shouldn't, but when I am in a kind of a negative mindset about this or that, it doesn't happen too often. But what I end up doing is if I'm like in a bad mood, I might go visit someone. I might make a phone call. I'm going to do something. Empty the trash around here. I need to serve. And in a moment, it raises me out of that space. So serving is a floaty. It helps keep us above, help us keep our head above water. Now, we have an example of James and John, the disciples, and their motives, which were completely wrong. Alan's going to share about that, but I want to share that scripture, Mark chapter 10. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to Jesus and asked him, "Teacher, we want to do whatever. Oh, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." Can you imagine? Wow. And Jesus said to them, "Well, what do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one on your right hand and one on your left, in your glory."
So James and John wanted the places of honor. That's what sitting at the right and the left are when in his glory. That's after his death and resurrection and ascension to be with the Father in heaven. They wanted those places of honor. I don't think humble was part of their vocabulary at this point in time. Jesus responded by telling them they didn't know what they were asking for. Would they be able to drink from the cup that he was going to drink from? In other words, would they be able to go to the cross the way he was going to go to the cross? I don't think so. They didn't know what was ahead for Jesus, nor did they knew what it was going to be like to deal with it. He also said their request was not his to grant. He wasn't the one that did that. And when the other disciples heard them, the other disciples became indignant at these two. And then Jesus called all of them together, all of his disciples. And he told them that whoever would be great among them must be their servant. In other words, whoever wants to be up here needs to be down here. whoever would be first must be slave to all. He said that even the Son of Man, Jesus himself, came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Wow.
I think we're wired to serve. Now, I had to think about that because actually our heart sometimes wants to be super selfish, like it's about me. But that's sin. And we're wired to care for other people, because when we're into that all about me sin thing, we're not satisfied. We're not content. Nothing is right. And so it's important to put needs, others' needs, above our own. We are put here to serve. I don't mean necessarily here, although it is here, but in this world, to serve, not be served.
You know, we have all kind of opportunities for that here at CCC. You got a paper when you came in. It's got a lot of stuff listed on it. Take a look at that. After service, there's going to be a table out in the lobby. Stop at the table and take a look at the opportunities for serving right here at church. Take a look at the opportunity to put the needs of others ahead of your own. Sharing is caring. Take some time to care for those around you. Stop by and check out the floaties available right here at CCC.
We are not trying to guilt anyone. Yes, it's important for us to serve, but serving is good for us, and it helps build up the body. We also know that people go through seasons. Sometimes we just need to be served, and that's fine too. But I would love to say 100% of the people that call this church their home would be in some sort of service. It could be on a team that is a short-term team, or it could be like serving at the fall festival. There you go, Kevin, there's the plug. It's in October. That's important. Or it could be greeting people outside, but it's important. All right, so the greatest floaty, not the greatest, but a super important floaty we have available to us. Actually, it is the greatest floaty, is just a prayer away. His name is Jesus. Jesus, did you ever think of Jesus as a floaty? Well, how about this? Jesus is our lifesaver. Yeah, that's who he is. And when we're struggling, when we're having trouble keeping our head above water, he's a prayer away, offering us a hand to lift us up, to pull us out, to give us hope. There's a great example of that in the book of Matthew, chapter 14.
Immediately, he, Jesus, made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. That's a pretty typical activity of his, isn't it? Yeah. Now, when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. See, that Sea of Galilee was a very big piece of water. And the winds would come down from the mountains, down into this valley, and you would get very serious waves that they could sink a boat, actually, at times. For the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch, that's in the deep part of the night or the early, early morning, fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I." And when Jesus is there, do not be afraid.
And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, or felt the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying, pulling him into the boat, and he said, "Ooh, this was hard to hear. Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God."
Mm. I love this story, don't you? And it's not just a story. This isn't just a kid's story. This isn't just to show them, you know, Jesus just, it's not a makeup story. This is real. He's actually walking on the water. And then Peter says, you know, "How about me?" You know, Peter, impetuous, kind of out of his mind, crazy. But Jesus gives him the opportunity to do what we would normally think was impossible. But doesn't Jesus give us that opportunity all the time? He's given us that opportunity right here. And we've taken that. And we've seen the impossible, haven't we? We've seen the impossible thanks to Jesus. "Come," Jesus said. "Come on, Pete." And Pete jumps right out of the boat and he's walking on the water. He's walking on the water as long as he stays focused on Jesus. Wasn't that true for us either? Also, we can do the impossible if we stay focused on Christ. But he took his eyes off of Jesus and he started focusing on the wind and the waves. He took his eyes off the possibility and focused on the challenge. You see what I'm saying? And then that happened to you and me too. When we take our eyes off Christ and we start focusing on the challenges, on the reasons why it won't work, why it can't work. When we start listening to the naysayers, when we start considering what won't be rather than what will be, we start to sink just like Peter did, don't we? Absolutely. We do too. And Peter says, "Lord, save me." And don't we say the same thing? "Lord, save me." And Jesus, all he did was reach out his hand and took hold of him. And how often does he do that with you and me too? Just reaches out his hand and lifts us up from drowning, from the waters of whatever, overcoming us and lifts us up. You know, he literally became Pete's floaty that day, didn't he? Literally. He kept his head above water, kept him from drowning, just like you and me. It was his salvation, literally, his salvation.
I want to talk about prayer as a floaty for a minute. We declare 2024 as Connections Year of Prayer, and we have Adore in 24. You get an email every Monday morning with a scripture that you can pray, perhaps something else, and always a place to meet at 9:30. From 9:30 to 10, we're covering the MOT area with prayer. When I pray, it brings me up. It's hard to feel like I'm sinking when I'm talking to God. I want to share something that happened. Doris Harmon, who was at the 9 o'clock service, she and Candy and Sarah Sparks and I generally are the prayers at 9:30 on Thursdays. And it was just Doris and I, and we were on Cass Street this past week. And we're walking along and we're praying over houses and talking about Jesus. And we got to the end of Cass Street, and it was on the corner of Main Street and Cass Street. So it's kind of right across from the church on Main a little bit. So we were on that corner. And we looked, and on that porch, it's a side porch, there was this skeleton sitting on the porch thing, and all dressed up, but we looked at it and we were like, this feels kind of creepy a little bit. And it felt dark. So we started praying over that house. We started praying over the people living in the house. We started praying over anybody that goes by that house, that they wouldn't see skeleton, they wouldn't see darkness, they wouldn't see death, but they would see light and life. And man, we were just going to town. And we finished, and it's like, okay, Lord, this is yours. We put this in your hands. We want to see that skeleton down soon. Anyway, we turned and we started walking back up Cass Street toward our car. And there was a young woman walking toward us, and I noticed she had a, like, skull stuff on her purse. I'm like, ooh, okay. And then Doris did something that she doesn't usually do. Normally, it is Sarah that does this. Hi, we'd like to invite you to Connection Community Church. We're up the road. And, you know, the girl goes, oh, okay. And I said, listen, we're just praying over the houses and lifting you up and hope you have a lovely day. And she goes, well, I really need prayer. And I'm like, good. So we did. And then we kept going. And she walked down and turned into that house. She lives in that house that we had just prayed over. Isn't God good? I mean, Doris wasn't going to show up. I didn't know if I was going to show up, but God made us show up because that place needed prayer. Who knows? She also said, I've heard of that church. I work with somebody who I think goes there. If you're that person, invite her. Invite her. And so it was a great, great morning. So prayer's a floaty. Jesus. Jesus is our ultimate. He calls us, he claims us, he loves us, he woos us, he gives us grace, he sheds his mercy. There is nothing that compares. Jesus. He calls us to keep his eyes on him, and when we do, we won't sink. Yes, our circumstances might not change. Yes, we're still dealing with things of this world that are very, very difficult. But even in the midst of that, Jesus holds us and carries us and keeps us out of that pit of darkness when we acknowledge him, love him, put him on, pray, all that. He keeps us from drowning. Jesus saves us. He's our life saver. He's our life preserver.
Jesus saves us. He is the Savior. Do you know him? The one who keeps our heads above water, who keeps us from drowning, who saves us? Do you know him? Do you know him? I don't mean, do you know his name? Do you know those likenesses where you instantly say, oh, yeah, that's Jesus. And I don't mean, have you talked to him? I don't mean just a little mumbled prayer where you request a favor. Have you really talked to him recently? Have you told him how you feel, what you're dealing with? Asked him to walk with you through it. Have you told him you love him? Have you told him you love him? Invited him into your life to be a very part of your day-to-day living? Have you shared your very soul with the one who died on the cross for your salvation and mine? Have you said thank you? Thank you for dying on that cross for me. Thank you for saving my soul, Lord. Have you said thank you?
Floaties. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit. This looks ridiculous, I know, but I'm trying to make a point.
Well, it'll keep your head above water.
It does. The Holy Spirit, worship, small groups, devotion, serving, prayer, Jesus. Some practical ways for each one of us to stay afloat, to not drown. He's there for us. It's the good news of Jesus. Let's believe it. Let's live it, because it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. He's got you. He's got me. It's going to be all right. Let's pray. Almighty God, thank you for your promise They aren't just things you say, but your word is a promise. You are our foundation. You fill us with the Holy Spirit. Thank you for our worship together. Thank you for the smaller groups together. Thank you for opportunities to serve, to pray. Most of all, thank you for you, Lord. You are holy. You are just. You are Alpha and Omega, the first, the last, the beginning, the end. You are a mountain-moving God. And so we thank you, because when you are in our lives, it's really going to be all right. We thank you in Jesus' name. Everybody agreed and said, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people with Jesus and the new life he offers.